even more than we understand. I heard this person say recently that Jesus was the expected, unexpected Savior. And it caught me. It caught me. They were looking for a Savior, but what they got was unexpected. What we got was unexpected. We had no idea. When we came to the Lord, we had no idea of what God really wanted to do and how deep our salvation runs and how complete our salvation is. God has left absolutely nothing undone concerning us when it comes to redeeming us completely from the fall. What we are coming to know and coming to understand is just a tidbit of what we will see on the other side when we get to glory. It's just a tidbit. And I'm glad about this. I'm glad about this. But what the wholeness of life really means, we can't understand it now. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 said we know in part. We get bits and pieces as we go. We understand better than the old saints understood. We understand better than the old prophets understood. And then that's still not enough for us to grasp what God has done in saving us, in redeeming us, in rescuing us from the darkness and the brokenness and the eternal death. Just think, eternal death. Never ever knowing the truth, never ever understanding God and being tormented forever, redeemed from that. We don't even understand the impact of Jesus coming into this world, but we know that he made such a difference that nobody stopped talking about him yet. Whether they're talking about it to receive him or to reject him, people are making noise about Jesus. There are people proclaiming he was not God. He was not the Savior. Even though they disclaim him, they can't stop talking about him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank God for Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm going to begin reading in Luke chapter 1 today. Hallelujah. And I'm going to start reading at verse 26. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 1 verse 26, Luke's account by the Holy Ghost. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused or engaged to be married to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation that this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then Mary said unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also the holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord. Be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. It has been ages since Adam and Eve fell in the Garden of Eden and broke fellowship with God and plunged into death and darkness unspeakable. It has been 42 generations from Abraham to the day of the Messiah, since God told Abram that he would be the father of many nations, since God told Jacob that his children would outnumber the stars and the sands of the sea. As a matter of fact, he said the same thing to Abraham, the stars of heaven and the sands of the sea. Your children will be numberless. It's been ages since God said that. It's been 42 generations of them waiting for the Messiah. Galatians 4:4 said that he came in the fullness of time. So he wasn't late, and God was not holding back. It just wasn't time until he came. God was waiting until all things had been fulfilled that needed to be fulfilled for the Savior to come and then gather all things past, present, and future into Jesus Christ. I love that passage of scripture in Ephesians that said, all things and all men for all times are gathered into Jesus Christ, which means that God has left nothing undone concerning man since the fall, since before the fall of man until the day of Jesus Christ when we will see and understand all things. So it's been a while. It's been a while, but how many know God's never late? How many know God is never late? He's always on time. Even though we be rushing and saying, God, could you do it right now? God, could you do it right now? It's best to wait on him because you're going by how you feel and God's going by how he know it ought to happen. Let me say that again. You going by how you feel. And I want to say it especially to you, little girl. You going by how it feels rather than what God has said. You better hold on to what God said because it's going to be better than ever. When God seems to be slow in coming, he's just getting everything right so you'll be full of joy and full of peace. And so everything that he wants to make right in your life will be right. Say, I'm waiting. I don't hear you. I'm waiting. Waiting for God. I'm waiting for God to do it the best way. And so I'm getting over how I'm feeling. I'm shaking off how I'm feeling. And I'm going to do like the prophet Isaiah said. I'm going to be looking at God because he said the person who looks at God, beholds God, is kept in perfect peace, complete peace, sleeping in the storm kind of peace, going through without a complaint kind of peace, going through and trusting God's going to do this thing for me. God's going to do it. And when he gets done, hallelujah, I'm going to dance all the way. Because the victory is mine. Say, the victory is mine. So it's been a long time. A lot of people have come. A lot of people have gone since God made the promise. A lot of things have happened. Things that they did understand and things that they did not understand. But now it's time. We're just months away now. When the angel appears to Mary, it's just months away. It's just a few minutes now. It's an eye blink away right now. Hallelujah. And then that 9 months going to seem like a long time. If you ever carried a baby, you know what I'm talking about. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so, unsuspecting that today, the angel of the Lord is going to come and speak to her and say that you are going to be the mother of the Savior. Unsuspecting that the prophecy in Isaiah chapter 7 that says a virgin will bring forth the Son of God. Unsuspecting, Mary is going about her business, engaged to Joseph, expecting to be taken as his wife. When the scripture said that she's espoused to Joseph, it's as good as being married today because once a woman was given to a man or a pledge was made between them, it was the same as them being married. The only thing left to do was to consummate the marriage. The only thing left to do was for the bridegroom to come and take his bride. So for all intents and purposes, Mary is engaged in the state of what we would call marriage today. And the spirit of the angel comes and speaks to her and says, "Hail Mary. Hey Mary, how you doing today? I have a word for you from God. You're going to have a son. His name will be called Jesus. He will be called the Son of the Living God." Say what? He said, now don't be afraid. Don't draw back. That word fear there means don't draw back. It's not like a shaky kind of fear, but it's like drawing back saying, hold on now. You know, it's like, hey, you stay over there and I'm over here. It's that kind of fear. It's like, don't be afraid. Don't draw back. Don't withdraw. The word that I have for you is from heaven. And the word that I have for you is the word for the woman who will be the mother of the Savior of the world. God has promised that the King of Kings would come on the throne of David. 2 Samuel chapter 7. God told David, listen, when David was trying to build God a house in 2 Samuel, you know, he's feeling pretty good. He's not at war anymore. He's sitting on his haunches. And you know how we are when things are going good, when the bills are all paid. Let me put it like that. When the bills are all paid, everybody well, everybody happy, ain't nobody fussing and fighting. All the relationships have been healed. Things going good on the job. Matter of fact, you got a promotion and a bonus. I'm talking about like that. Everything's good. Living in the house you want to live in on the right street. I'm trying to help you out. Got the man you want. Got the girl you want. Whatever the case may be. Everything's looking good and looking up. Everything's looking good and everything's looking up. Okay, and so we ain't worried about nothing. Everything's good. When everything's good, we satisfy. But when things are not going right, we're running to God. So we get comfortable when things are good. David has run for his life for years. He's lived in caves. He's had hard times for years, and things are good now. So David says, you know, I think I'll build God a house. And the prophet said, you know, that's a good idea. Why don't you build God a house? And then the prophet goes home and God troubles the prophet. He said, now you go back and you tell David, I didn't ask him. I didn't ask him to build me a house. You go back and you tell David, I found him when he was keeping the sheep. Don't get so big and so mighty in your salvation and your understanding of the things of God that you are right now. God called you. You didn't call him. God made you. You didn't make him. God saved you. You didn't save him. And you didn't ask him. He did it because he's good. He did it because he loves you. He didn't do it because we deserve it. He did it because he's good. Say, I'm saved because God is good. I'm saved because God is good. Hallelujah. Those things that came to destroy me didn't destroy me because God is my help. God is my hope. David, you got beside yourself. Go tell him. I found him keeping the sheep when his family didn't know he was the king. I did. When his family didn't know to send for him out there in the fields where he was keeping the sheep. I knew he was out there and I sent for him. The prophet said, is there anybody else after he tried to anoint the king? And they said, well, there's David. Well, then you need to go get him. And he dumped all that oil on him because that was the one that God has chosen. Hallelujah. That was the one that God had chosen. God doesn't choose according to stature. He doesn't choose according to good looks. He doesn't choose according to your credentials. He chooses, hey, according to the heart that he's placed in you. He chooses according to the one who will obey. You know, some people say I will and they won't. And some people say I won't and then they will. That's what Jesus said. Don't be going by how people clowning, because they're going to clown. And God will take that very clown and make them a holy woman and a holy man of God. He said, go tell David I found him when he wasn't looking for me and when nobody else thought that he would be the king. Go tell him. And then tell David that I'm establishing his house. He's not building mine. I'm establishing his house. And he told him, I'm going to establish your throne forever. And on your throne will sit the King of Kings. On your throne will sit the Lord of Lords. On your throne will sit the Son of the Living God. And we see that prophetic utterance unfolding as the angel speaks to Mary. The Bible says, David's throne is being established according to the prophetic utterance way back in David's day. David is dead and gone. Solomon's dead and gone. Many kings have come and gone, but now it's time for the King of Kings. Now it's time for the Lord of Glory. Can you see it's worth waiting on God? Hallelujah. Can you see God's going to do it whether you see it with these eyes or not? But you can't tell me David don't know. You can't tell me he don't know. You can't tell me he don't know, because I saw Moses and Elijah on the Mount of Transfiguration. They well aware of what's going on, y'all. The King of Kings is coming. The Lord of Lords is coming. God said to David, he said, I'm establishing your house forever and your throne forever. Mary has heard these words. She's heard these prophetic utterances when they've been read in temple. But she didn't know God was talking about her. She didn't know that she was going to carry and bear forth the Son of God. She's not planning on a baby by the Holy Ghost. She's not planning on God planting a seed in her womb that is going to be the Son of God. She's getting ready to marry Joseph, her man. She's got to be able to tell Joseph what had happened. But thank God that the Spirit of God came to him in a dream. Tell the Lord, thank you. That thing that you think you got to fix, God's already working on it. Oh, y'all don't hear me. I believe this word is prophetic today. Those things that you think you got to fix, God is already working on it. He heard before you called. The prophet Isaiah said, before you called, Jesus, I heard you. Before you had the opportunity to utter or even know that you needed God to do something, God is already at work. Is anybody in the house? She didn't know who she was. She didn't know that those scriptures were talking about her. She didn't know that she would bear the Son of God into the earth. She didn't know that she would bring the Messiah in the earth. This is all news to her. God is not surprised because you are. And God's not changing his plan because you weren't expecting it. He's not changing his plan because you weren't expecting it. Because I wasn't going to be no preacher. I was going to be a mother on the mother's bench, wearing my white dress on Mother Bench Sunday. Wear your white dress. And a stretch was, maybe I'll teach Sunday school. That was a stretch. Then I was going to be somebody's wife and have a house full of kids. That was my greatest ambition. Not preaching. God's not taken aback when you didn't know. God's not taken aback because he speaks to you something beyond you. Let me tell you something. Ministry and the calling is more than us. Greater than us. What God is going to do to use us and work through us in the body of Christ is more than you and your personality, more than your strength and more than your ability, more than your understanding. This thing is supernatural. So this girl has a supernatural visit from an angel, the angel Gabriel, telling her you're going to be the mother of the Savior. the promised Messiah. Israel has been waiting for. All of mankind has been waiting for deliverance, and you get to bring him into the world. My God. Who is this girl? Who are you? We're living in the end times. And I don't know who you are in this day. I don't even know who I am in this day. But here's what I do know. That God has a gospel that's going to be preached. He has miracles, signs, and wonders that are going to be done through the church. As a matter of fact, he said he has confused and will confuse the devil's works by the church. He said the church is going to be the undoing of Satan and his doings. Church! Who are you? Who are you? Mary didn't know. Mary, did you know? That your baby boy would rule the nations. Did you know? She had a clue, but she didn't know. Oh, you can see it when he starts his ministry. Even after an angel told him, the boy is growing up and doing what God told him to do. Mary, what? So the depth of what God was doing. She got the surface, but not the whole deal. You hearing what I'm saying? He's going to rule the nations. Y'all don't. Jesus has not even begun to finish what he's going to do with mankind. Supernaturally. On a day when she's not expecting it. The angel of the Lord shows up. And starts speaking to her. That which sounds impossible. That which sounds beyond anything that she would ever think. Do you know this girl is not planning to have a baby by the power of God coming upon her and implanting a seed in her? The only thing she knows about having a baby is that she's got to be with a man. And she said, I don't know a man. What you talking about? I started to tell you a minute ago, God told Joseph. Because Joseph was getting ready to put her away. After she told him, Joseph said, I'm nice enough that I'm not going to make you a public display, but you're going away. And the angel said, don't touch her. Hey, Robo Sheke, my spirit has come upon her. Hey, and that thing in her is holy. Rabo Sete, Rokoto Rebekete, the thing planted in her is holy. Hallelujah. Born of God. It's from heaven. What's done came from heaven. The Holy Ghost enveloped her being. I don't even know what that means. All I know to say in English is that when he got done enveloping her being, she was pregnant with Jesus. Can you hear what I'm saying? And not the way people get pregnant. Hallelujah. It wasn't something weird that God did with her. Because I've heard people say weird stuff. Y'all stop that foolishness. That was the Spirit of God who can do things that are beyond our understanding. We just know that the same God, hey, the same God who spoke the universe into existence, said to a woman, my spirit is coming upon you and you'll be pregnant. Not normal. Unusual. Beyond understanding. Don't try to figure God out. Just say yes and amen. Glory to God. It happened. I was reading something the other day. I didn't read it very long because it sounded stupid to me. The reason why we have the ministry called apologetics. You don't need to apologize for anything in here. All you need to do is just believe it. I am to the point where I just believe if God said it, he said it. I don't have to know why he said it. I don't need to know how he brought it about. Hallelujah. And if God has chosen not to tell me, that's all the more reason for me not to wonder about it.
Come on, church. So supernaturally, this woman is impregnated with an unexpected child. Her fiancé or her husband-to-be has been told to just take her to himself as though she were his wife, but don't you touch her the way a man touches a woman until after the child is born. Tall order for a man. Hallelujah. Don't you defile this woman because she's been impregnated by the Holy God of the ages. Hey, God has promised that his seed that's unaffected by man and his sin is going to come into the earth and save man. See, Jesus had to be without sin. So he had to be born from heaven, because to be born from a man and a woman is to be born after the image of Adam. And he had to be born after the image of God. So God supernaturally spoke a word. His spirit, his power, his glory surrounded this woman. And now she's pregnant. God had to do it that way, because the only way a savior could save you and me is they had to be untainted by Adam in the fall. She only carried him, gave him the body that he needed. But his spirit is from God. His soul, he unaffected by man and the fall. I don't know. Don't be asking me. I just know God said it. And I'm accepting that. I can wait for the explanation. I can wait for God to show me later. And then guess what? If he chooses to never show us how he does things, amen. Because I'm going to be living in his presence forever. Can y'all say amen in here today? I'm glad about Jesus. Amen. So Gabriel says, Mary, don't break and run. The Spirit of the Lord tells Joseph, don't put her away. This is holy. This is God. This is untouchable. And no matter what lies people come up with, no matter how people try to discredit the virgin birth, they can't. It's just the truth. And I don't need apologetics to prove it. I just know God said it. Good enough for me. Amen. It's going to be good enough for everybody that's going with Jesus. Amen. So listen. He shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. Remember the promise to God, to Jacob? I love it. I love Jacob. You know, Israel is Jacob after Jacob wrestled with God and he got a name change. When you had a name change, that name represented who you are now. So Jacob went from lying trickster to a man of God. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? God changed him. Guess what he can do with you, old lying trickster? Old manipulating, scheming person. Guess what he can do with you? With your old backwards, can't see nothing right self. Guess what he can do with you? Guess what he can do with you, with your old bitter, unforgiving self? Guess what he can do with you? Guess what he can do with you? He can raise you up from the ashes of your mess and make you man, woman of God. He can and he will. And that's what the Savior came to do. Huh? We need to be like David. We need to be like Mary. Because after God got through saying to David what he said about him establishing his throne forever, David said, listen, he said, you know me. And you will speak these kind of things to me. God, you know. How many know David was a scoundrel? Always marrying. Always doing something. But how many know? How many know that God took that man who had a heart after him, who knew how to repent, a man who knew how to change? How many know that God changed David? And David said, I don't understand what you're doing, God. I don't understand this. My throne is established forever. I don't understand that I have a lineage like what you're talking about. I don't know about those kind of descendants. He said, but sir, please do with me what you will. And Mary says the same thing that her father said. She's saying the same thing. She says, I don't understand, but do it. Do it. I don't understand it, but do it. God, I don't understand what it means to be a minister of the gospel, but do it. I don't know what it means. I don't understand all of what you're requiring of me. Placed in the body of Christ, I don't understand all that you're requiring of me. But God, do it. Fix me so I'll be able to do it. Do what you will, God. That's total surrender. You know what? God wants a surrendered heart today. He wants a surrendered life today. And the only way he gets a surrendered life is that the heart is surrendered. Because how many of us know that the very issues of life flow from the heart? What you are in your heart is what you'll be every day. Your mouth can say a lot of things, but if your heart's not there, your heart is eventually going to trip your mouth up. Because the real you is going to come out. Who you really are, oh yeah, you're going to show up. You're going to show up. And so it's like, allow the Spirit of God to be God. God knows us. He knows every one of us. Mary said, I don't understand this. But she understood enough to believe that if God sent this angel, then she was willing to let whatever God say be done unto her. And then he throws in, by the way, Elizabeth is pregnant. Say what? Now she know how old those people are. And she apparently has not seen Elizabeth, because the Bible did say Elizabeth hid herself for the first 5 months. She didn't let anybody see. And he said, and now she's in her sixth month. And so Mary is, say what? Elizabeth is pregnant. And then the angel says, for with God nothing shall be impossible. Another way of saying that is, no word from God is without power. Any word that God speaks is full of his power, able to accomplish not only his miracle working power, but his power as the authority. You know, when Jesus would speak, they say, how does he speak with such authority? Because he had power from heaven. He had the authority of God resting upon him. No word from God is without miracle working ability. No word from God is not able to accomplish what God said. We know what Isaiah 55 says. It says every word that comes from God's mouth goes where he sends it, and it accomplishes his will. Not yours, not mine. My will falls short. Your will falls short. Most of the time, what you will is based on how you feel or what you've come to know. And I don't have enough knowledge to overturn the will of God at work in my life. You don't have enough knowledge to overturn the will of God in your life. So, she said, let your word be done unto me. The word of God is at work, and it's full of power. It's full of establishing what God wants to do. So where does that leave us today? Well, how does that resonate with us today? If no word from God is without power, if I'm hearing that God has done this impossible thing over here with this old couple, if I'm hearing God say from an angel sent on high that I'm the mother of the Savior, where does that leave me? That leaves me with a yes and an amen. Where does that leave you? Where does that leave us when God speaks a word? See, we have this thing in this world we want to challenge because I've never heard of this before. And there are things that God's going to say that you're not going to Google. There are things that God's not going to say that you're not going to say, Google, what's the meaning of this? It doesn't have that understanding. It doesn't have that knowledge. Google say, what you talking about? What y'all little gadgets names are? What a... Who? Siri, AI, all them people. Alexa, all them people. They don't have the understanding because they can only get what man feeds them. And if man is not fed it to the AI, to the Alexa, then Alexa doesn't know. I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know how to answer. But the answer should be, you're beyond my understanding. Because there's no place to go except to God for the understanding that you need. For Mary's impregnation or for the gift of God that's been deposited in you. A long time ago, I heard God say, what I put in you is what I'm going to get out of you. What I put in you is what I'm going to get out of you. I put me in there. And so what he's looking for when he comes back is himself. Jesus is not looking for something. He's looking for himself when he comes back for the church. He's looking for his reflection, his glory, his power. He's looking for him. And no word from God is without power. Jesus said, when I come, you'll be without spot, wrinkle, blemish, or any such thing. When I present you to the Father, I'll present you pure and holy. So guess what? Nothing less than pure and holy is what's going to happen. Nothing less. Nothing less. Oh my, to be like Mary. To be like Mary. God, I don't understand, but I have the peace of knowing that you're God. Help my restless soul today, God. Help this restless mind of mine. That should be the prayer. God, help me to rise above my feelings, not to be governed by how I feel, but governed by your integrity, governed by your character, governed by this one thing that you cannot lie, governed by this, Lord God, that if you speak it, it's coming to pass, governed by you are almighty God and there's none beside you, governed by this, that if I wait upon the Lord, my strength will be renewed, governed by this, that every word that comes from the mouth of God will be performed till it's done. Governed by this, that God told my father Jacob that until I've done it all, I won't leave you. Governed by God will never leave me nor forsake me. Governed by the truth and not circumstances. Governed by the truth and not this world. Governed by the truth. God, help us today. The scripture said he would be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God. Hallelujah. The Everlasting Father. Hallelujah. The Prince of Peace. Hallelujah. All of that's Jesus, all bundled up into one. You need Everlasting Father. You need fatherly care. He's that. Wonderful means that he's the miracle worker. Counselor means he's got a word for every situation. When you run out of words, he's got a word. Hallelujah. Hey! Don't care how many times or how many ways it's been broken. Jesus' word will fix it. Bring it together. Don't care how many pieces it's been broken into. Jesus has it all right. Stop looking at what they're doing and look at Jesus. Stop going by what you see and look at Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 It's not what somebody said, but it's what God said. They will say many things, whoever they are. They will say many things, but the only thing that matters is what God says. When Jesus in John chapter 6 said, "Eat my flesh, drink my blood." He scattered the crowd that thought they wanted to follow him. You see, when it gets hard, folks start falling to the wayside. When it gets hard, well, don't take all of that. No, I'm not going through all of that. They start falling through the wayside. This is too hard. And then when they all started falling, saying, this man crazy, talking about eating his flesh, drinking his blood. This is a crazy thing right here. So we gone. And then Jesus looked at the 12. He said, y'all want to go too? Peter, who doesn't get very much right, got it right that day. Peter said, where would we go? You have the words of life. The words of life are found in Jesus. He is the living word of God. Can you hear me saying? He say and he is at the same time. He say the word and he is the word. I don't figure that out. It's just the truth. He is the word. He's the living word of God. He's God's word in action, and he said, the word said, he'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. The word said, cast your cares upon me because I care for you. Hallelujah. Take my yoke upon you. That's what the word said. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. So let's be like Mary today. God, I don't understand. I do not understand. But do it. Have your way with me. Do it. Hey, do it. Hey, whatever it is, do it. Hey, whatever it is, do it. Be God in my life. Be God for me, with me, in me, through me. Be God. Bring the Savior forth. Ooh, in whatever ways you need to. Hallelujah. In all of the ways I need to take on Jesus, do it, Father. Let that be the prayer. Hey, let that be the prayer. Whatever it takes, God, that I'll be changed into the image of God from glory to glory. Do it. Do it. Oh, church, there is a God to be glorified. There is a God for us, the church, to glorify. Let's be that church. Can you hear what I'm saying? Let's be that church. Oh, yeah. And the story continues. And the story continues. Greatest story ever told. Hallelujah. 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 Mary, did you know? Hallelujah. That your baby boy will walk on water. Did you know, Mary, that your baby boy was going to save you? Mary, did you know? Mary, did you know? Girl, what did you know that day? Hallelujah. But I promise you now, Mary knows. Let's pray. Father, hey, thank you that Jesus came in the fullness of time. God, that's prophecy is unfolding right before our eyes here in Luke chapter 1. And prophecy is unfolding right now in this day and age which we live. For Father, we can see that we live in the end times. And we're looking for his second coming. He came the first time just like you said. And when you intended. And he's coming again like you intended. And in the fullness, he robakata, in the fullness of time. God, I pray that our souls, Lord God, would hear you today. God, that our minds would be settled. Oh God, that our minds would be settled that what you have spoken is truth concerning Jesus. We are not confused. We will not be confused. Hallelujah. He is Lord. Huh? He is King of Kings. He is the beginning and the end. He is the Alpha and the Omega. Roku Tora Masa. Hey God. Hey God. And all people and all times and all things are gathered in him according to your divine purpose. And we thank you for it. Thank you, Lord God, that we get to celebrate in this season the coming of the Lord. We don't know what day it was. We don't know when it was, but we get to celebrate that he did come. And we thank you for it. Father, I pray that everyone under the sound of my voice, oh God, will get a new revelation of your goodness and your power and your glory and your love for man, and a new revelation of our Savior, understanding even more how he came to save us, to rescue us, so that we could be made whole, and that you have left nothing undone. I pray these things in Jesus' name, and we all together say, what?
Amen.
Amen. Glory.